So the growing demand for clean energy has meant a push to find new sources of natural gas as an alternative to oil. And it's turned communities around the U.S. into new potential mini Saudi Arabias or Texases. North America is a huge repository of natural gas, but getting methane out of the ground is more complicated than just drilling a hole and waiting for a gusher. The industry uses a technique called hydraulic fracking, which busts up underground shale rock and potentially disrupts and possibly contaminates aquifers and public water supplies. For decades, both industry executives and regulators have maintained that it's a safe technique. Rex W. Tillerson, the chief executive of ExxonMobil, for instance, claimed before Congress last year that there's not one reported case of a freshwater aquifer having ever been contaminated from hydraulic fracking. Not one. Well, there is one now. Ian Urbina, in an exclusive article about a case from the EPA, talks about this case in today's New York Times. Ian, good morning.
Hi.
And how would you characterize fracking? You kind of whack the earth with a hammer of water and chemicals to get the bubbles of natural gas to rise to the top. Sounds pretty disruptive to me. What's this case?
Well, the case is one from 1984. It's one that's been hiding in plain sight for quite some time now. It's fairly well documented, both in the state records as well as by the EPA. And we came across it because of one of the authors of the report brought it to our attention. And it just indicates that those who investigated the case believe that this was indeed a clear instance of fracking causing the contamination, and specifically not just gas bubbles, but the chemicals, which are the more dangerous part, from the fracking having migrated over to a man's water well and having essentially ruined the water well.
And this took place in the mid-'80s in the state of West Virginia, right?
That's right.
And, you know, how generalizable is this case? Is the geology and the techniques used and the behavior of the company in West Virginia emblematic of techniques that are being proposed for communities around the United States?
That's a good question. A lot has changed. Some has not. What has changed is the technology is much more sophisticated. Actually, in response to this very case, West Virginia in particular raised its regulations with regard to how wells are designed and what sort of casing the wells need. So protections have increased over time. On the other hand, there's a lot more drilling occurring now, a lot more fracking occurring now than there was back in the 80s. And furthermore, this instance was a fracking that involved far less water, 13,000 gallons to be exact, and far less pressure than is currently used in standard fracked wells. And so that means that with more water, you have more potential movement of these chemicals, and with more pressure, you have the same. So some risks have gone up and some protections have gone up.
And basically, we're talking about the underground sort of toxic sludge left over from some sort of organic material that for millions of years gradually decayed into these energy sources. And when you use this water to smash the rock and get the bubbles to proliferate upward and go into these pipes, you're causing a migration of pre-existing chemicals down there, or are you introducing new chemicals, Ian Urbina?
A little bit of both. So earlier in the year, we wrote about some of the pre-existing radioactive materials that are down there naturally and that get stirred up and can be brought to the surface and are a source of concern and need oversight.
That's like boron, right?
Like radon.
Radon, yeah.
Radon is the gas. Radium is the specific radioactive element that we were looking at. So radium is the one of concern. Uranium is down there too, but radium is the more worrisome one. In this instance, we're really looking at introduced toxics. These are the benzene and BTEX. These are the chemicals that are mixed in with the fracking fluid. And those are the ones that are really at issue when we talk about contamination of underground aquifers.
Right.
And this is, in this instance, that's the type of chemical that showed up in the man's water well.
All right, let's focus on the takeaway here before we go, Ian Urbina. Is this a call for regulations to protect city water supplies, or is it the kind of thing where individual wells, as in the West Virginia case, are threatened and there will have to be regulations designed to protect individual homeowners?
Not to duck the question, but I think I may have to. I mean, I think that this is a call for regulators to take seriously the potential for contamination to occur and to really take a hard look at what sort of requirements they have about mapping to know always where exactly the aquifers are and where abandoned wells are that might serve as conduits for the contaminants, and also how strong the well casing and well design regulations are.
Yeah,
I think that's really the biggest message conveyed.
Well, it's not ducking the question, but it certainly means we need to ask the question, are the regulations in place? Ian Urbina is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times, talking about one case in West Virginia back in the mid-'80s that caused the contamination of a well because of fracking for natural gas. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.